Hey, Adam.
Yes.
Did you see the inauguration last week?
I saw it. Yes, I did. Yeah.
Did you hear it?
I heard a little bit. Yeah.
Okay. Well, we're about to do a critique of it.
Okay.
Let's do it.
Let's do it. I'm Adam Annis.
And I'm Peter Martin.
And you're listening to the You'll Hear It podcast.
Music, advice, and criticism. Well, critiqueism.
Critiqueism is criticism, I think.
Is it? Yeah.
I believe so.
Constructive or otherwise.
Yeah. You know, when you came to me with this idea of critiquing the music from the Biden inauguration, I was floored. I was like,
how low can we go?
No, this is good stuff, low? Man. Yeah. Because this is America.
Yeah.
We should critique that. Track sometimes.
It is America, yeah. It turns out. It's America.
Yeah, and so
whatever that means.
Kind of get to see what this new administration wants to put their first foot forward. Because this is their first artistic choice, right? As a group of people.
It is. Although I would say that I think this year we have, you know, obviously we have some extenuating circumstances, several of which. So we might want to give, in case we do... you know, trend towards the more criticism side of things. There was a lot going on.
Who's
going to be playing? And you know, I mean, they're battling the pandemic, the attack on the Capitol. They're just trying to keep the place safe. So perhaps the exact musical decisions and like what the time signature on the Star Spangled Banner was going to be was not foremost on their minds. They were just trying to make a smooth transition.
Do a critique on the critiques of the Star Spangled Banner. There's a couple of good ones I can think of.
There are some good ones. Yeah. I think that this is there. There was some good stuff and there was some. Let's get into it and say, because I don't want it. Nothing was bad. And there was certainly some, the production was really good. And given all the hoops they had to jump through this year due to the pandemic, due to the security, I mean, it's really amazing what they did. And we're going to be checking out and listening to some things from the actual inauguration. We're going to start there.
Cool.
And then we're going to go all the way into the evening because they had kind of had a new thing this year where they had the what would normally be entertainment.
There's usually these big balls, right?
The big balls that are not really necessarily open to the public. They're more of a donor situation.
Although I would love to play, there's one moment from a previous inauguration ball that I would love to play because it stands out as a really good musical moment.
But from the Beehive by any chance?
It might be from
the
Beehive.
Okay, I got you queued up on that already.
Good.
Okay, so first we're going to start with Garth Brooks.
Welcome to our jazz podcast.
Featuring Garth Brooks. Well, no, but this is Amazing Grace, and this is a song that certainly was wonderful that it was chosen, especially at the position during the inauguration, a very prominent.
You've chosen this as something to kick off your performances every Friday night, almost every Friday, right?
Well, I haven't done it in a few months, but I'm going to bring it. I did it last week for the first time in a while. Yeah, I'm kind of bringing it back. But I mean, Amazing Grace, it's almost like, I would say it's our country's spiritual anthem.
For sure.
You know, very much.
Yeah.
But if we could list the number of people that we would be thinking of to sing Amazing Grace, would Garth Brooks be on that list? Perhaps not. Although he made the cut somehow. Let's just check it out.
Okay.
Here we go. This is Garth Brooks at Joseph Robinette Biden's inauguration. So Garth is walking up to the podium now. He has blue jeans on and a nice Armani jacket, it looks like. He's taking off his cowboy hat. A trumpet player.
I wonder, can we just pause it here?
Yep.
So this is the trumpet player from the President's Own, which is the Marine Band.
Marine Band 1.
And I know we actually have a listener who was in this band, Jeff Strong.
That's right.
Who's now with the LA Phil.
Yes.
And Jeff, if you know who this trumpet player was, please reach out to the podcast.
Yeah. Well, and he's killing it. I'm wondering.
No, these guys are ridiculously good. This Marine Band is unbelievable.
They're like at the level, if not beyond, the top brass sections of the best orchestras anywhere.
For sure. Yeah.
But now I'm wondering, because, you know, from what the little bit of insider information that I do have, and it's not even that insider, all this is pre-recorded. Even if, like, they are lip-syncing.
This guy's pre-recorded?
I think so.
I don't know if these guys are. Maybe
it was cold.
Maybe Brooks is, but
I don't know. Yeah, maybe not. But if you check it out, listen to this. We're going to get really... Is that an echo then? or is he not playing? Because it could be that it's pre-recorded, but then, because a lot of times when they do this, the artists want to play live.
Yeah.
And certainly this gentleman and Garth Brooks, everybody here can certainly pull this off playing live. It's not like they can't do it. But a lot of times the production's like, we're not going to take a chance. We can't control the sound.
I don't know. I
mean, we got 100 million people watching this thing.
I don't know.
But you hear that?
Well, I hear it, but that could be bouncing off of anything.
That's true.
Amazing. That's live.
I don't know.
That's live.
Well, this is...
How sweet the sound.
He would never let that happen.
Is it a little pitchy, as
yeah.
they say?
Yeah.
A wretch like me.
I mean, it's not horrible, but it's not wonderful.
I was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see.
Okay, let's pause it there. So yeah. Let me just say, he can sing. There's no doubt about that.
Well, I mean, he's one of the biggest pop stars in the world.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm not hating here. It's just something,
You know, it's not your thing.
It's not my thing.
Let's keep going. I think this is
I like his outfit, though.
I think this
he's
is
He's got
live.
Like a smooth jazz outfit on.
He does totally. Have he's wearing all black.
But with blue jeans.
Yeah.
When we've been there 10,000
pitch is dropping.
Years, bright shining
eyes. And you know what it is? It's just so straight. You know? Can we get a little bit of a vibe going on it?
The sun.
Is this America or what?
We know.
There you go. Now he's getting a little vibe
going. To sing God's praise than when we first begun.
I'm going to ask you to sing this last verse with me. Not just the people here, but the people at home.
This is a nice touch.
We're in church. We're in church.
One,
yes.
United.
That was nice.
Amazing grace, how sweet.
Gaga's singing along here.
Kind of. Yeah. She's not mic'd up yet.
A wretch like me. I once was.
How are they going to sing along with that? With you doing that addition, Garth, though.
Yeah. Keep it. Now's where you should have kept it straight, Garth.
Yeah. So, I mean, look, it's good. But you know what? My hat's off. This was a little bit of a reach across the aisle, perhaps.
I think so.
Which I love that, you know, bringing the country together.
And honestly, you know, hats off to Garth for this is not, this does not, like, I think do him well by his fans to sing at the Biden.
Yeah, and I know nothing about Garth and his politics or
we got
to
finish it, man. You're skipping ahead.
Because we got a lot of things. But check this out. This part I really like. So now he's going around. He's shaking hands. Everybody's really in masks except for him, of course, because he's just singing. But this next part is pretty. Oh, okay, they didn't show it. He went up to Obama and Clinton, like every president, and gave him hugs.
Oh,
like without
Garth,
a mask.
Come on, Garth.
I thought the Secret Service was going to tackle him. I'm sure he was tested
so
on his way in.
I think this was sung live just because you can hear him. You can hear. So when you're singing and you're nervous,
yes,
I know from experience, you don't tend to take these deep breaths. And this is Garth Brooks. Like, I can't believe that he would be nervous, but if you're ever going to be nervous,
yeah,
even if you're a massive, massive star, it's when you have one shot on a tune that you don't sing very often, you know, which he probably doesn't, and it's like just you in front of the whole damn country.
And there's 50,000 National Guard troops there with their guns, you know, saluting, not you.
You got Slick Willie two rows behind you.
That's right.
There's reasons to be nervous. I think you could hear the shortness of breath in his singing, and I don't think he would have recorded like that in a studio.
Well,
when he asked the audience to sing that last verse, it was obviously pretty seamless.
It would have been, if they had done it, it would have been mixed in any way. You'd still be singing live and they'd be mixing it back and forth normally the way some. But look, my thing is, like, if he's lip syncing, that's hard. That's actually harder than singing live, especially when it's a cappella out of time.
Rubato,
like
yeah, for sure.
Yeah, but typically that would be some kind of a mixed in situation. But anyway.
I like the show, man. This is a good episode for us.
Okay.
Great.
So now we're going to jump to, okay. we're going to go to Jennifer Lopez. And, okay, did I get
a little J-Lo, a little J-Lo.
Okay, here we go.
This land is your land.
Oh, boy. Strange choice of tunes, right?
This land is my land. From California to the New York Islands, from the Redwood Forest to the Gulf Stream waters, this land was made for you and me.
Now, I think this might have been pre-recorded.
I agree.
As I went walking,
because her pitch is pretty good on this.
Yeah, a little too good.
Well, yeah, you're nervous, you're outside, you can't hear. This is a little kind of a whack arrangement.
Skyway, I saw below me.
And then does the Marine Band have strings? I haven't seen them yet, but yes.
This land was made for you and me. Oh, this land. Oh, this land. This land was made for you and me.
This is just so sanitized, though, the whole thing.
Feels a bit Disney-ish, doesn't
yeah.
it?
Oh, this land was made for you and
oh, this is a medley,
me.
Too.
Oh, medley. Yeah. Get out of here.
Me, oh, America, oh. America, God shed his grace on thee.
Pretty well.
And crown thy good with brotherhood.
But it's just
from sea to shining sea.
We got people playing there, but I'm hearing instruments that I'm not seeing too. So I don't know what's going on.
Una nación bajo Dios indivisible con libertad y justicia para todos. Let's get loud.
A little let's get loud. There you go. Sure, sure, sure.
And you see, yeah.
Because this land was made for you and me.
Definitely not singing live there.
No. And I mean, look, she's singing well.
Okay.
I mean, it's not, I mean, compared in a way, like technically compared to Garth Brooks, she's singing better. Maybe that's because this is pre-recorded.
I feel like I enjoyed the Garth Brooks more than this.
I think I did because it was more human. Like hers is just so straight and down the middle. And look, Jennifer Lopez, incredible entertainer, incredible artist.
Yeah.
I mean, she's a great dancer. She can do it all. But like when she's in the situation, she's a huge pop star. Well deserved.
Yeah, celebrity, and that doesn't necessarily translate, I think, to some of these occasions.
Yeah,
when you need someone who can actually, like, her show. If you go to a Jennifer Lopez concert, is not like this.
No, it's not.
You know what I mean?
It's not.
And I think the best versions of these are when the people who are performing. It's like they can just knock it out of the park with themselves in front of a microphone. And, you know, can we speak on the arrangement really quick? Because, listen, they're not scrimping on the arrangement. I'm sure this was done by someone who was like a better arranger than you or I, right? Like
some coastal liberal elite arranger, Hollywood arranger.
Some Hollywood arranger, exactly, who's a killing craftsman or whatever. But that is boring.
It was so boring.
Yeah,
so boring.
I mean, that feels like an arrangement by a committee a little bit.
Yeah, it was just,
Like,
that was
like the we'll put the exact right, reharmonization here. We'll go to the minor.
It was literally the opposite of the John Clayton, Whitney Houston,
you
know, of course, famous Star Spangled Banner.
So speaking of Star Spangled Banner, looks like we got something queued up next.
We do. Okay, now we're getting into, you know, something. Something else. Here we go. This is Lady Gaga, or as she's known, Lady Gaga.
When's Nick Payton coming on?
So proudly we hailed.
Nice.
At the twilight's last gleaming.
Her earpiece is dope.
Yeah, it's like a gold.
Yeah, her in-ears are killing.
Nice. This is a little better arrangement. Yeah,
this is a good arrangement. Oh, a little dominant chord there. Nice. Yeah.
But you know what? That's a little whack to me.
You don't,
I don't
like
know.
That?
I don't know. But this. So this.
What's whack? The dominant chord?
Yeah, the placement of it. Check it out. It's just like. Like, it's the way it's juxtaposed. And the rocket's red glare. Like.
But do you see where it goes? Hold on. Do it again, but yeah. Let it play out. Let it play out.
It's out of balance. This arrangement's out of balance.
Back it up. Back it up. Back it up. I'm going to disagree with you. Listen to where the dominant chord resolves. Watched, we're so gallantly streaming, and the rocket's red glare.
Sharp nine. Yeah, I mean, it's okay. Check it out. Gave through the night. Very dramatic.
What's Gaga? What do you expect?
Something about this is out of balance to me.
Orchestration's whack. Come on.
It's just like thrown together a little bit. Great stuff thrown together. And then, stylistically... She's kind of all over the place, like singing. I mean, look, she's an amazing singer. And so now
she's got a cool voice.
Yeah. And after, you know, Garth Brooks and
she's
and
better Jennifer than J-Lo at singing.
Yeah. Hello, Captain Obvious. Yeah. Adam Man. But I mean, to me, like she goes into that very kind of soulful affectation, but then she goes out. I don't know. It's just, it's a little bit jumbled.
It was
me.
A little bit jumbled for sure. I do say though, so the orchestration I didn't enjoy. It was there was too much glitter on it.
Mm-hmm.
The arrangement I enjoyed. Obviously, there's some, as Adam Neely pointed out, there's some Whitney Houston influence there.
There's
from
a little, a little now.
The John Clayton. Stuff.
Can we just listen to a little bit of that? Yeah. I'm sorry, my soul needs
this
it
is from
right
the
now.
Super Bowl.
Yeah, but. This is Whitney Houston, John Clayton, the great jazz bassist and composer and arranger. To me, this is just like
we could have done a whole episode on our favorite national anthem. American National Anthem versions.
Yeah. But the balance of this, it's not just, you know, people geek out on the, oh my God, he's doing the E-flat over A. And, I mean, that's whatever. But, okay, man.
And now to okay. Throughout the world.
Sorry, I didn't have this.
Followed by a quite. Air Force base.
We don't need that. A-ling. Boom. Here we go. The balance of this arrangement is so much better. Like, this is starting out really.
By the way, this was definitely pre-recorded.
Oh, yeah. But not because Whitney couldn't sing it. It's just...
What the what?
Come on.
Effortless.
But the dynamics and then just the balance here.
Slick.
Yeah. Come on.
Come on, America. It's the best of America right there.
American excellence. What do they call it? Exceptionalism. American exceptionalism.
Whitney's exceptional.
But the way Clayton goes in and out of the more standard way.
Yeah, that's how you do it.
And then the L.A. Hollywood stuff. But at the right time. And it gives her the space for the phrasing.
Just Whitney at her maximum cuteness, too. She's so cute.
Yeah.
This, everybody copies those chords.
But I would
you
just
think
say
the audience there knew what was going on. You think they're like,
I don't know, but I would just say that Clayton, the other thing I love that he does to keep this in balance, like he hits these beautiful slick chords, but he doesn't sit there and pat himself on the back
about the slick chords.
No, you know what I mean? Like, it's not like, he doesn't, he just, I mean, the balance of this whole thing.
Beautiful.
And Noah Clayton, he probably like wrote this in 2 hours. He's like, oh, this will be, he probably just sat down, you know, was like, but that's, but awesome. We digress, because that was from 91 and we're talking about 2021. This is a whole nother time.
That's good to hear. It's good to hear. So what else you got queued up here?
Okay. So let's go now. I think that's all I have from the actual inauguration. So now we're going to jump to the evening. Okay.
So this was like the video presentation afterwards.
Right. This was the, what did they call this? The boom, boom, boom. They call it the inauguration celebration.
Celebrating, right? America here.
Yeah. Biden inauguration performance. Okay. So this, you would think that I would hate, because it involves Justin Timberlake.
Why would you hate that? Now,
no,
come on.
I mean, it's a jazz podcast, right? But this is Aunt Clemens, or is that how you say his name? I wasn't familiar with this artist. Aunt Clemens,
Aunt Clemens.
Like Anthony, I think, featuring Justin Timberlake. I didn't know the song or anything, but I love this. Part of it is the video of it. So if you check this out, I love the way, and I love Stax Records in Memphis. I love this neighborhood in Memphis. I love the way it looks, the whole thing.
Yeah.
But this is them doing a song, Better Days, which I really thought they did a good job on. So here you go. Memphis train tracks, come on. Drummer in an obligatory mask. That's how we do it.
There's a light at the end of the tunnel. Keep your eyes on the road ahead. But if you're feeling lost in the night, it's okay to cry. Just as long as you hold your head. Cause we're on our way to better. Better's ahead. It's worse for it gets better, but better's ahead, better's ahead, better days are coming.
Yeah, the obligatory Justin Timberlake walking into the studio shot.
Studio A, in case you were wondering.
Better days, better days are coming. I know you've been kicked out, slept on, let down, faith gone, waited for too long for something to lean on. You feel weak, just be strong, deep breath.
These lyrics were really
calm. If you just press on, press on, press on.
It's good.
You gonna see there's a light at the end.
Light at the end of the tunnel. So the lyrics were not written for, they released this last year, but it kind of fit for the inauguration, you know, the way things played out.
I like that bass drum.
Yeah. The mix is killing. Ooh, the organ. It's got a little Memphis sound.
For sure.
Ooh, the tom. I didn't notice that, though. They're taking it to the streets. They go out to the street. It's safer out there. Better ventilation. They're leaving the band behind, though. That's kind of weird.
Yeah, it's whack.
So they're going out onto the streets. Stax Records, Memphis. Stax Records Company. Lights, Biden Harris on the marquee. Come on. Satellite Record Shop. It looks like a Hollywood set, actually.
It does look like a.
But that is. No, that's. I mean, I've been on that street. That's what. The band's still stuck inside.
Band no sounds one, good.
The band is killing.
I know you felt left out, slept on, keep
going. See the lyrics? See how it fits in?
Yeah.
Shine bright, don't dim yours for no one. Keep going.
Oh, happens to be a gospel choir on the street corner. That worked out good.
Well, it's Memphis,
and,
right?
And the drummer made his way out before them with the drum set. And you know what? Justin Timberlake, he, I thought he kind of did good on this. You know, he fit in. He's, I don't know.
I enjoyed.
Like, that's just, what else do you want from a pop star than exactly what Justin Timberlake has given you over his career? He's given you a good pop career.
Yeah, he did. Yeah. And this, you know, I don't know. He fit in well without taking over. It was a nice thing. It was inspirational, I thought.
That was good, man. I liked a lot of that. The only thing, I feel like an old man, but the way, what's my man's name in the red cap?
Ann Clemons.
Ann Clemons. Yeah. Like, the only thing that kind of bugged me was his vocal production. You know what I mean? Like, it was overproduced. You could hear, and I know it was like
heavy auto tune
meant to, obviously intentional. And I feel like this is where I definitely feel like a 42-year-old man, where I'm like, I don't like all that auto tune on there, you know?
Right. Check this piano. And you know what? Actually, I found, I like, they got the upright piano outside. The choir's killing. So there's a remix of this with, I'm spacing on who it's with. Anyway, I'll tell you in a second.
That's good.
Yeah.
I like
good
that
stuff.
Yeah. See, that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah. Okay.
Honestly, the only thing I haven't really dug so far was J-Lo, to be honest. Everything else is pretty good for something like this. It's like when people complain about the Super Bowl.
Right.
It's like they want Prince every year. Well, you know what? There's only one Prince.
Right. And Kirk Franklin. They got a remix with Kirk Franklin.
Oh,
it's killing.
Oh, that's good.
That wasn't from the inauguration. Yeah. No, I agree. So everything you dug, well, let me give you a little challenge then, sir, because you're about to check out some John Bon Jovi right now.
Uh-oh. I feel like this is where it's going to make a turn.
Well, okay. This is, so for some reason he was doing this, I think it's in Miami, which was cool. Visually, this is amazing. They're out on this pier over the water. They aren't even really trying to pretend like it was live because there's like nothing hooked up, it doesn't look like. But I love this song. I don't know if this is my favorite version, but I'll let you be the judge.
Oh, God, no.
Give it a chance.
Don't ruin this. Bro, stop it.
Really? This is offending you more than the more than the J-Lo?
I love the, you know how much I love the Beatles?
Well, me too, but look at that beautiful set. Miami. Miami Beach. North Miami Beach, wherever they are.
Okay, keep going.
Okay, he's not, it's not totally like, the guitar's nice, right? He's got a violin. John's looking healthy. Look at him. He's older, but he's looking.
He's a good looking man.
The hair
man
is,
he's
not
a good looking
big
man
anymore. No, of course.
There's no.
The finest looking. It's a little weird. Now that I'm here, it's just strange. Is the sun setting or is it rising? We don't know. But you know what? Nice that John Bon Jovi did this song, which fit, you know, lyrically. I can tell you don't like the rendition, but
with
the moment, instead of one of his, you know, power ballad hair hits from the mid 80s, you know,
he's one of those dudes, man. He is such a good guy. You know, he has this whole kitchen where he feeds homeless people in Jersey and Philadelphia and all these and other places. And I've never liked any music that he's ever made.
Okay.
Sorry.
Well,
apologies, John. I know you're a fan of the podcast, but
big shout out to John Bon Jovi.
He seems like a really cool dude.
Yeah. No, I think so. Okay, so let's move on to something I think you may like, because I believe you're a fan. This is right from your time period. So we talk about, we have a lot of music in common, of course, because of the jazz and just the stuff
we
listen.
Yeah, yeah.
But we're a little bit different in age enough.
Well, let me ask you a question. Did you grow up in House Springs, Missouri in 1995?
I did not.
Okay, how would you know this?
Well, no. I mean, what was I in 95? I was in New Orleans.
Yeah.
But this made its way down there, too. But
you were like playing with Joshua Redman in 95.
Yeah, so it had a little different impact.
I was cruising to the House Springs McDonald listening to some Foo Fighters. So
this is Foo Fighters.
Might have been 97.
And I don't know where they were, but this was a cool setup where they were, and the sound is killing and stuff. So here we go.
By the way, can I just say I love the Foo Fighters? Just in general.
I know. That's what I set it up. I was saying.
Okay,
I don't know if you're going to love this.
Taylor Hawkins. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, there we go.
I'm a one-way motorway. I'm a road that drives away. Follows you back home. Okay, hold on. So just imagine, Peter, just like it's 1997.
Yes.
You're at a club. There's a really cute girl. She's wearing like a choker. You know what I mean?
Maybe some big shoulder pads.
No, that's your era.
Oh, that's fine.
No, she's got some flared jeans.
Oh, flared. Right, right.
You know,
right.
I'm wearing a huge shirt a la Chandler Bing from Friends. All right, keep
Nothing's
going.
Fitting.
I'm just
Nothing's
setting fitting. The mood here. I'm right. just setting it. Good.
I was wearing the same outfit, but playing with Joshua Redman Quartet, now that I think of it. DKNY for life.
I'm a white light, blind and bright.
Bright.
Now, they're really playing and singing. Yeah. But I think they presented this as a recording.
Dude, they're
thing.
Killing. I don't care what anybody says.
No one said anything.
I know. I feel like I'm on the defensive here for some reason.
I mean, your Garth Brooks approval. That should put you on the defensive. Give and give again. This was a big hit of theirs. It's times like these
you learn to love again. To teachers everywhere. Thank you.
Yeah, they actually said a really nice thing. This was a dedication to the frontline teachers.
I love that overdriven organ sound. That's a good sound.
Is that? Did I see something Mellotron over there? Is that what that is?
Maybe. This dude looks like... Is he familiar? I'm going to look this guy up. He looks like he's supposed to be back.
And that's Dave?
Dave Grohl, yeah.
Dave Grohl, right. New sky to stars upon this phrasing tonight. And vibe is happening. Yeah, what is that keyboard there?
I think it's a sampler.
Is that Dave Duchovny playing keyboards?
From the X-Files?
Yeah.
Kind of looks like him.
Wait a second. Did they bring in a stunt double? Oh, maybe that's one of those Nord.
It is a Nord.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It sounds killer. I'm a little divided. Dave Grohl got a little weight going there, didn't he?
Buddy, it's hard out here in your 40s. He might be a 50.
It's hard out here for a... Overly primped rock star. Nice set design. All the sets have been different. All really good, right? It's times like these. Okay, cool. You want to hear more? Sorry.
No, that's good. Is that really where it goes? Does the band ever come in?
I don't know.
It looks like it.
Yeah. Oh yeah, that's right. They start hitting hard.
Rock and roll, man.
Yeah. I love the rock guys that like make it to this age.
It's awesome.
They're survivors, you know?
You got to give Dave... I mean, he was in Nirvana. Like, yeah. You know what I mean?
No, he's a bad dude.
He's a bad dude. Little
back
on, little Pat Schneer there.
Yeah. The drummer. Who's the drummer?
Taylor Hawkins.
Oh, Taylor, that's right.
Killing.
He sounds like he's playing a huge, like, Billy Cobham 70s. His set is not that big.
Kick drum looks pretty big, actually.
Yeah. I mean, not that many.
Oh, yeah, there's not that many pieces.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
I like that. I mean, I know that I'm a Gen X man and that I should like that, but I love that.
We like to call you the world's oldest millennial or maybe the youngest Gen Xer.
See, that's the thing. That's the great thing about being my age is I'm kind of right in there in the middle.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying?
That's right. Right. Okay, cool. So we're coming up to now. We're gonna come to something next. I wanted to put in because I had never heard of these guys.
Okay,
they're kind of weird, but okay. It's kind of I don't know. I didn't go into it deep, but I know that you probably don't know them either. So this will be a good time for some older folks, like you said, some showing our age to get hip to what's happening. This is the Black Pumas.
Okay.
Well, we're the Black Pumas.
See?
From Austin,
he just
Texas.
Said it.
Congratulations to President Biden.
They look like they're
Vice
at Austin
President
City
Harris.
Limits.
Yeah.
On this historic win.
I think it is.
It is.
Yeah, the
you
lights.
Enjoy the music.
I like that introduction.
I like the hat.
Yeah.
I woke up to the morning sky first.
There we go.
Baby blue, just like we be first.
That's all we want.
There's a lot of good stuff happening in Austin, when by the way, music scene.
For sure.
Lighting wise, too.
Round, 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 till I'm clean.
What'd you call this groove, Adam? Let's do a little groove analysis real quick. This is almost like...
Sorry.
Yeah. But it's almost like that what's that thing, like that Texas swing? It's got a little bit of that Texas swing in it, right? Or is that a Southwest Oklahoma swing? Sorry.
Because
it's got a little country in it, not like modern country.
There's a little Memphis going on here, right?
Yeah.
There's a little soul thing happening.
For sure. Don't kick a team, stick it. It's kind of unique though, right?
I'm such a sucker for this sonic palette with the whirly,
yeah,
and a Telecaster,
diminished chords.
I love it, man. Like, don't you just want to be in this band where you just get lay in the cut?
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Oh man, like every tune, you don't even have to shed on because you just hear the chords.
Yeah,
I mean, it's got some stuff in it, but you can just slide right
listen
in.
Listen to that whirly; sounds hip.
Oh, I thought that was pedal steel too. Was it? Definitely whirly, but I thought I heard it. To feel all right. A little promo for the band. Okay, that's probably the whirly on the Nord, huh?
He's got a Nord on a Rhodes.
The Nord is just a rack for them.
Yeah.
Okay, see, now you know a new band, Black Pumas.
Dig it. Love it. Sucker for it.
There you go. Okay, so we have, would you like to hear some more of this by any chance?
We got to make it stop. Oh, my
okay.
Gosh.
Oh, no, we got that already. That is Jennifer Lopez. Okay.
Between that and the Here Comes the Sun with the Bon Jovi, here comes this just, it's like.
Okay.
I was listening to, by the way, can we just do a little.
Of course.
I know they need some of our attention, but the Beatles, man, I just listened to the entire White Album yesterday for the first time. You know, it's like one of those albums where you might pull out once a year, once every 2 years, maybe, because after you've heard it a billion times, it is a stroke of genius, that whole album. I mean, that whole period where they went from like Revolver, Rubber Soul through, you know, I mean, their whole career, basically, as a band, which was not that long, actually. It's like about as long as we've been doing this podcast.
That's right.
But like not the whole podcast. I mean, this particular episode.
No, I think it's good. We should really start helping out, you know, forgotten bands like that by promoting their music. You know, we shouldn't just. I mean, that was nice of John Bon Jovi.
I think that's why apologies again to John Bon Jovi. That's why I had such a sour taste when they started that song, because I was just.
Mood changed.
I was in such a Beatles high, and then I just feel.
I'm sorry. I should have sprung that on you. Okay. Well, you're going to like these last two.
Okay. Cool.
Because we're going to actually jump to two of my favorites. And I know one of these, well, you mentioned it already, is one of your favorites. But these are from Inaugurations Past. We couldn't find anything else good from this. We could barely find anything good from this one, as you see. So we had.
By the way, I don't think anything that we've picked from the Biden inauguration will hold a candle to these two.
I don't think so either.
Or the Whitney Super Bowl anthem.
No. Yeah. I think just the inauguration, though, and the wonderful young poet Gorman, Amanda Gorman.
She was the best part of that
whole show. I mean, that's going to be people. That's what people are going to gravitate towards, I think.
She killed it, by the way. Can we talk about that? She crushed it.
Amazing. I mean, that was like, you know, Maya Angelou did it, I think, 2008. But she did a reading that was
Garth Brooks has been selling out stadiums since 1990. He sounds nervous. This 22-year-old gets up there and just, like, crushes.
Right. But that's a good lesson, though. She was doing her thing, reading her poem that she just wrote.
Absolutely.
You know, now the fact that she killed on it, that's just next level, but it was in her wheelhouse.
I would just like to add, too, that we don't make enough new music for our country anymore. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Why are all the songs like 100 years old? Why can't we have any new songs?
Right.
I understand tradition is important, but let's have some new stuff in there.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying?
That's right. Okay, so we're going to check out two things. The first is what you mentioned, Beyonce or Beyonce.
Beyonce.
Queen of the Beehive.
What the podcast listeners don't see is the hand gestures that go with your French accent.
The flush.
You can't have one without the other.
This is the thing. I'm actually, contrary to popular belief, my wife and my kids like to tease me. They think I'm a huge Beyonce fan because one time she came on TV or something.
Who's not a Beyonce fan?
Well, no. I mean, I'm a fan, but I'm not like a super fan. You know what I mean? But she years ago, she came on stage, I mean, on the TV, and, you know, she's fine. Let's be honest. And I kind of said something like, damn.
I mean, that's like calling water wet.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I just did a, whoa, damn.
Yeah.
And so Kelly has been teasing
like, she's
me.
She's your girlfriend. Like,
yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But a little salty, too. A little salty.
Sure.
But I'm fine. I think she's an amazing performer, great singer, but, you know.
It's funny how that happens with spouses. Because you do that the other way, too. I mean, and Heather will do that. I remember, like, we were dating once, and I said Natalie Portman was pretty. Again.
And
like
you never
the
heard
sky
that
is blue, and now
right.
Natalie
Portman's
my girlfriend.
She talked about it this morning, right?
Like, yeah, I think she is pretty, but I'm like, right. Man, come on. Like, lay off me.
Kelly's one big one now. Kelly and Rachel, my daughter, is Jason Momoa.
Oh, yeah, you know, they all like, yeah, Jason Momoa.
I'm like, isn't he like this big, like, is he human? I mean, who knows?
Yeah,
whatever. Punk. Try to come on my podcast, Momoa.
He actually seems like a cool guy.
Dang, I hate it. Hate it when they're like,
I know.
Okay, so this is Beyoncé singing At Last. And
this is killing.
Yeah, and I didn't pre-screen this one because you brought it up right before, but I'm really looking forward to hearing this. This is at
this was just also one of
2009
those
2009 inauguration.
This was one of those great moments.
Yes,
I think, you know, where like Barack and Michelle, they're dancing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They obviously, this is the his first inauguration. They are in love. They look like they're in love. They also look like a married couple. How you would kind of be like, can you believe this is happening right now? You know what I mean?
It's very great. Much reminiscent of Donald and Melania at the. No. Okay, maybe not. Sorry. Okay. No, and it was such a historic moment for the country, and it was, you know, what was it? Not Yes, I Can. Yes, We Can.
Yes, We Can. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it was just an inspired for whatever your political beliefs are. You know, I don't really care about that, but you talk about the history of the moment. Plus, that was like a time when we could still embrace that, even with political differences. You know, and hopefully there was a hint of us getting back to that, where you can celebrate something. You know, the first African American president. Young guy from, you know, the whole story.
There was a lot of hope in this moment.
There was a lot of hope in this moment. Yeah. Quickly dashed by Mitch McConnell. Shortly thereafter, shutting him down like a teenage party. anyway, we digress. And let's check out Beyoncé and a little At Last, the Etta James classic. Well, she didn't write this, though, did she? She sang it.
Maybe no. Actually, I knew this.
It's going to be by, like... Cole Porter. No. Here we go.
See, you know what I'm saying? Keep that arrangement proper.
You know.
Written by Matt Gordon and Harry Warren.
Man, we're not even in HD here on the video. Young. Beyoncé's young, man.
This was 2008, man. It was 12 years ago. 13 years ago.
Has come along. My lonely days are over. And life is like a song.
So you see, he can say.
Yeah. Yeah, so I mean, the whole thing is like this. It's great. Check out the video.
Houston in the house.
Yeah, definitely. Good stuff.
It's awesome, man.
And then I don't mean to cut this off. We could listen to this whole thing. We're just trying to give. We're jumping back in time, so it's like a little retrospective.
Great. So what's the last one we have? Oh, it's the Yo-Yo Ma. This is very, very good.
This is kind of the one that I always thought was just such a moment. Even though I found out shortly thereafter that this was pre-recorded.
Well, but wasn't this...
It was like 7 degrees.
It was like in the teens for... This was Obama's first inauguration at the inauguration.
This was that same day as At Last,
but at
noon or whatever.
Yeah.
I remember seeing this live and thinking, what a moment. Of course, all the history of that year and that, the first Obama presidency and the history behind that. But it was also such a thing of like where culture was maybe once again, or maybe for the first time in my memory or my lifetime, where you had culture elevated to a point. There's a part of this video, like in the public's consciousness, and it seemed very much to come from the Obamas and their people. And, you know, having had a little bit of experience later on, I didn't know it at this time of getting to play for them in the White House. I can tell you that their appreciation for culture is genuine, or if not, they're pulling it off really well.
No, it definitely was, I think, for me, one of the highlights of the Obama presidency was, you're right, having art so prominently displayed in as of importance in the White House. The man had his own playlist on Spotify.
Yeah, he still does.
And it was genuine.
I still check it for like, wait, let me check some stuff out.
And just their, you know, their official White House portraits,
yeah,
that are just so different and beautiful, and actually, you know, seem to be concerned with the art that's being made.
Yeah.
I mean, the relevance of that as an artist, it makes you feel, seen.
And for lack of a better word, you know? Exactly. It makes you feel part of it. And it also just, I think, as someone, you know,
it's actually making me kind of bummed out about the Biden one now.
Well, I know. That's why I'm giving him a pass, because I know that he's very he loves jazz. You know, and we'll have to talk about another episode, Kamala Harris and her husband.
Oh yeah.
You know, he named his kids Ella and Nat after Ella Fitzgerald and Nat King Cole. So he's
Kamala is she, yeah, they're jazz.
And she
fans.
Has another jazz connection too.
Yeah.
But anyway, so I remember this moment though, and it was something I experienced a couple times later, seeing the Obamas know how to appreciate culture. You can tell. Like There's a point, I don't know if they're going to show it in this video, but where they turned around, and the way they were watching Yo-Yo Ma and Itzhak Perlman and Anthony McGill and Gabriela Montero, who's a pianist.
Yeah.
Anthony McGill is, I mean, he was young. I actually got to work with him one time. He's one of the most incredible clarinetists,
yeah,
which, full disclosure, not my favorite instrument.
Yeah.
But in the hands of a master.
In the New York Phil?
Yeah. He's principal of the New York Phil.
He's killing, yeah.
And so you're talking about some masters playing, and they're playing John Williams, a beautiful piece of John Williams.
Kind of a slouch there.
Yeah, but it's not the theme from Star Wars. And I remember I was like, wow, this is so cool. They have John Williams, who's one of our greatest composers.
He really is.
But they don't have him doing some schmaltzy J-Lo singing the theme from Jurassic Park or something. Big shout out to J-Lo.
Let's not bring that up. Let's not bring that back. Come on.
But you know what I'm saying? Like, they got kind of a challenging and beautiful piece.
And now John Bon Jovi sings the theme to Schindler's List.
Come on. So yeah, so this was just, it was a moment, you know, it was a moment of kind of cultural clarity,
did,
I think.
And I don't mean to bring it way dark, but what did Trump do at his inauguration for?
Oh man, no one would go. No, I mean, no, they tried to get, I mean, they weren't gonna get anybody good, but they were gonna try
I'm
to
look
get
it up. Surely
they were trying to get someone. The same, you know, like J-Lo, and they were trying to get the big stars, but they wouldn't do it. So should we check this out?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. That picture, look, Obama's turned around looking at them. You know, this is classical music. This is not the Pachelbel canon either, you know.
It's gorgeous.
Freezing AF.
Yeah.
I mean, this is a beautiful playing, artistry, beautiful music, but it's kind of, I mean, this is sort of like challenging stuff. You know, I love it. I mean, it's like four minutes and 40 seconds.
I love it, man. That's great. Know.
Anyway, big shout out to all of the performers and John Williams.
Can I just say, so I'm just looking
and
it up.
Steinway and Sons for letting the piano go out in that weather. Shocking.
For sure.
Probably had to throw that thing away.
Just looking up Trump's inaugural ball. And whatever you think about it, it is very Trump. Their first dance with Melania was to My Way. And it was performed, actually it was performed by Aaron Boehm. Who I only know because I used to play with Aaron Bodie. And
no relation?
People used to get those two American jazz singers confused.
There you go. Well, just to cancel that out, let's listen to a little more of this.
You'll hear it. Killing.